like that Japanese orchestra, it's going to be. Isaiah chapter 48, and we'll read verse number 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. As I read this verse of Scripture and then begin to look at some other verses of Scripture given to us in the Bible, there are several verses that have the term refine and refined in these verses, talking about a refining process. And here God is speaking to Israel and saying to them, behold, I have refined thee. And when you look at the history of Israel, you will see God's work in refining the people of Israel. You know, their history is not a beautiful, pleasant history, is it? There are some bright moments and bright times, glorious things in their history, but there's also some very dark things, some very troubling things in the history of the children of Israel. God called Abraham out of the land of Ur, brought him to the land of Canaan, let him travel through it, promised him they would give unto him and his seed after him the land of Canaan as a perpetual inheritance. As we read in the Bible, they went down into Egypt during the time of Joseph and that terrible famine, and they remained there for several hundred years. And during that time, God was doing a process of refining Israel. Of course, this process was working in the individual lives. We look at Moses and we see how that God was moving and working his life, and how that he led him into the wilderness there, out tending the sheep, God working and dealing with him and refining him for the job that he had for him to do. Others we could name that God was moving and working and in preparing them. Beautiful thing about it is many of them listened and yielded their lives and let the refining process work and God do great things in their lives and use them in great and wonderful ways. Things became very hard for the people of Israel down in Egypt. They were made to be slaves, bondsmen to the Egyptian people. Now the Pharaoh that ruled during the time of Joseph, he gave the family of Joseph the good land and blessings, and they prospered and had good things. But according to what we read in the Scripture, the day came when he was removed from the throne and another individual came and took over. Now when you talk about Pharaoh ruling Egypt, there were several different ones. And so when you say Pharaoh, it could mean any one of them. But the ones that followed the ruler at Joseph's time began to look upon them as a threat. And he began to put heavy burdens upon them and make them to build brick out of slime and mortar and straw. And then when Moses came and began to demand that he let the people of Israel go for a period of time to worship in the wilderness, he made it even harder on them. But I read in the Scripture where it tells us that God heard their cry in the midst of their affliction, yes, and he came down to deliver them and to bring them out. Well, this was all a refining process. Now, I've done a little more reading concerning this refining, and there's some verses of Scripture that talk about refining silver and refining gold. And of course, if you've ever seen any silver or gold ore, you know that the silver, the gold, is not as prominent as the rest of the refuse that's there, the rock and all of the other settlements there in that rock formation. And usually gold and silver come out of some kind of rock formation. And so when you begin to try to process that gold and silver, you've got to put it through a refining process. You separate it from the rock that it's in. And some, I guess gold and silver is a little easier to process. gold and hard rock, I understand, is a real great process to get the gold out of the hard rock. In the softer rock, it's a much easier. I guess we people sometimes, our hearts are harder, some than others. And I guess the process of refining it is maybe a little rougher with some of us than it is with others. But nonetheless, I believe that God is in that refining process. Not only did he work with the people of Israel, but he works with you and me today.
Amen.
And of course, when you talk about refining gold and silver, usually, if I understand correctly, it finally comes down to the process of refining by fire. And when you refine it by fire, you heat that metal up, and it melts the gold, melts the silver. And as you melt that, bring it to a high temperature, then it separates all the foreign matter from it. And you can skim all of that off. And when you get through with the refining process, you have pure silver and pure gold there to work with and use for whatever purpose that you might want to use it. And of course, we know that God had a purpose for the people of Israel. It was God's desire to use Israel to reveal his name and his might and power and his glory to all the nations of the world, and let the people all over the world know that there was one true living God able to do all things for mankind. And we see that God began the process of refining Israel in order that they might reveal him unto the world. Of course, as we begin to read and study the Bible, and as I done a little studying concerning these verses of Scripture, it seems as though that God was saying to Israel here, I have refined thee, but nothing's come of it. I haven't really obtained what I wanted and what I desire. I still don't have pure silver and pure gold. You're still contaminated. You're still polluted. And he goes on and he says, I'll not give my glory to another or allow my name to be polluted. And of course, the refining process has just continued on and on among the children of Israel, and it still continues even today. And of course, when you look at what has happened to Israel the past 2,000 years since the time of Christ and their rejection of him, you see that God is still working in that process to refine them. Let's turn over to another verse of Scripture in the book of Malachi, I believe it is. And notice some verses of Scripture over there in the book of Malachi. Malachi 3 and verse 2. And verse 3 also we'll look at. But who may abide the day of his coming? Now notice. Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Anybody know what fuller's soap is? You haven't read much about making new cloth and preparing it to sell. Fuller's soap. A fuller is a person that washes new cloth and shrinks it and prepares it so that it's ready to sell and be used by the people that buy it. Did you ever buy a garment and you buy it just the exact size to fit? And the first time you washed it, it shrunk up. And when you went to put it on again, it was too little. Yeah, we've done that. You know, there's a lot of blue jean material. I don't know how it is now. I haven't bought too many new articles along that line in recent years. But used to, you had to watch what you bought because some of it would shrink up. The fuller hadn't got a hold of it and washed it and brought it to its... the state that it would remain in during the period of time of use. Well, you know, we go through a process like that of the washing, the purifying. Yeah. And of course, today we talk about it as sanctification. The sanctifying, purifying process. Uh-huh. And that's what we're going through. And folks, it's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. But according to what we read in the Bible, it's good for us. And it was good for Israel to go through the refining process. It was necessary, it was needful, and it's good for us today to go through that purifying, refining process. Do you ever grumble and complain about the burdens, the problems, the cares, the troubles, the reverses? You know, in recent years, I've heard a lot of preaching and teaching that, oh, when you get saved and you start living for the Lord, everything's just going to smooth out and be all right. Your troubles are over, and you're just on a smooth ride to glory. Anybody find it to be that way? You know what I find? When a person gets saved and starts living for God, then the tribulations and trials and troubles begin to come along, and we encounter these things. We're not alone. He's there with us all the time to help us in those times of testing and trial. And, of course, then the refining process begins in us the same as it was working in the children of Israel. Praise God. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? My, what tremendous questions are asked here. Verse 3 says, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. An offering in righteousness. Oh, when you go back to the second verse there and those questions, but who may abide the day of the Lord? It is those that have gone through the refining, purifying, sanctifying process. And I'll tell you, folks, there's not any one of us but don't have some rough edges on us, and we need the sanctifying, purifying power of God. There's not any of us but what doesn't have some dross that needs to be burned off and skimmed away, and we need to be purified and sanctified in the presence of God. And if I understand the scripture correctly, if we don't bend and yield to that cleansing, sanctifying, purifying process, we'll not be able to stand before him. That's why it's so important for us to yield ourselves when he begins to work to purify us, so that his work will be complete and what he wants it to be. I trust tonight that we'll not be like the children of Israel when God was speaking to them there in Isaiah and having to say to them, I've sought to purify and refine, but you wouldn't let me, and you haven't come out the way I intended for you to. You're still polluted. You're still corrupt. Oh, we need to be purified and sanctified by the cleansing blood and the power of the Holy Spirit today in order that we might stand before the Almighty God. Not only will the Jews stand before him and abide that day, but every saint of God is going to be called to stand before him. And we can, and we will, if we have been refined and purified in his divine and wonderful presence. Praise God.
Thank you.
I believe that the Word of God is one of the things that he uses in the purifying, refining process in our lives and hearts today. We have much more of his word than Israel had in their time. We have all of their mistakes and all of their failures and how God dealt with them and what God wanted and desired of them. Folks, we're really without excuse today, the New Testament tells us. There's every reason in the world for us to come through the purifying process with flying colors, as the old saying is, and be what God wants us to be. Because I believe we've learned from the children of Israel what God wants and what God desires. And oh, it's going to be glorious when we come into his presence after we have gone through that purifying, that refining process, and have been made what God wants us to be. You know the little chorus, the song that the kids have sang for a number of years now, he's still working on me. He wants to make me what he wants me to be. God's still working on me. And I'll tell you, if we've got to the place where we think that we've arrived, you know, and we've been perfected and we're ready for anything, and we don't need any more from God, then I believe we're in a dangerous position. But if we realize he's still working on us, and we're yielding ourselves and saying, Lord, have your way in my life, and I believe that we're on our way to a victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Joseph. Joseph was an individual that went through the refining process. How did Joseph come out? The Bible describes him as coming out, being what God wanted to be. I've read the story of Joseph. I've looked at it over and over again. You know, I can find no flaw. I can't find anything that the Bible lodges against Joseph. He seems to be as near a perfect and upright man as we ever read about or hear about. He did what God wanted him to do. Even when he was in prison there, languishing and crying out, God, deliver me. That was a process of purifying Joseph and making him what God wanted him to be. Praise God. Now, if we'd have been around, we could have probably picked Joseph to pieces and found all kind of fault. But I find nothing in the Word of God that God lodged any fault against him. I believe that he yielded to the refining process and was able to be refined and made pleasing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Job was another man that went through the refining process. He went through some fiery trials, didn't he? He went through some severe fire purging in his life. Oh, really, I haven't heard of very many people having the kind of troubles and the severity that Job had. Now, I've seen a lot of people with some severe problems. And I've seen people that's gone through some fiery trials and walked a dark, lonesome path, similar to what he did. But none to compare with the extent of Job. Lost his family. Lost his possessions. Even his wife turned on him and said, why don't you just give up and curse God now? Why do you keep holding on? You have nothing to live for anyway. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I shall then come forth as gold.
Hallelujah.
Friend, that's the key tonight to our coming through the refining process and being victorious and conquerors and winning for the Lord Jesus Christ is having the same determination, the same thoughts that Job had. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh, I know that we don't do maybe as well as Job did. I know sometimes we do more grumbling and complaining. We're more like the children of Israel. Even though we have all of these things in the Bible and read them, we do more complaining. And I know we get down and discouraged. And I'll tell you, we Christians have our ups and downs the same as the world does. I know sometimes, some weekends, some of us come and we're on the mountaintop and shouting the victory. There's other weekends we come to church and we're so far down that seem like nothing that's done or said can lift us to a place of joy and rejoicing. We have those times. We go through those times. The wonderful thing about it is I'm glad God doesn't walk away from us and leave us.
Amen.
During those times when we're down and out, we can't hardly lift up our head. He's there all the time, reaching out and wanting to lift us and encourage us. Sometimes, like the little poem about the footprints in the sand, I believe that he comes along and picks us up and literally carries us when we couldn't make it by ourselves, because he wants us to make that refining process. He doesn't want us to go under and be destroyed, but he wants us to be victorious. I like the song we sang about victory in Jesus tonight.
Amen.
Because there is victory through him. Glory to God. And you know, the refining process is not a terrible thing to us. It's not a hateful thing if we just realize what it's doing, what it's going to make of us, and the glory and the blessings that are waiting out there. There is victory in Jesus. Victory in every trial and every test. If we'll surrender ourselves to him and say, Lord, you have your will and way in my heart and life. You see, even the New Testament tells us that the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. Well, actually, what it would say to us today is the trying of our faith is more precious than any earthly possession that we could ever have or hold. Nothing in this world can compare with what we're going to receive after we've gone through the refining process. Glory to God. Victory in Jesus. And he's promised us great and wonderful victory. Glorious victory. And victory for all eternity. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. One writer in the New Testament said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's just different. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. But go back and look through the Bible. There were many that fell into great temptations. Some of them failed and did wrong, but yet repented and made things right with God and came out victorious. Others conquered at the time and never failed and went right on to serving God and doing God's wonderful will. Look at Abraham. Abraham lied several times. Abraham wasn't perfect. Yet God dealt with him and put him through the refining process. And if we understand the Bible correctly, God was pleased with Abraham. And the Bible said that Abraham's faith caused him to be counted righteous with God. He stood the test. He came through the fire. He was victorious. He was a conqueror. And he stands before God approved because he had faith and believed in God and acted upon it and did what God told him to do. And so it is with you and me today. If we will have faith in God and stand upon his word and do what he asks us to do, we can come through the fire and be victorious and counted worthy to stand in his divine and holy presence. Glory to God. Who can abide his presence? Those that are purified. Those that are sanctified. Through the power and blood of Jesus. Through faith and obedience unto him. Glory to God. I'm glad that God is still working in our hearts and in our lives. There's another passage of scripture over the book of Zechariah that talks about God's refining of Israel. Zechariah chapter 13. And verse number 9, I believe it is. I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now this is definitely speaking primarily here concerning the people of Israel. I'll tell you, if you look around at the church world today, you'll see that the refining process is going on in the church. The Bible says the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if judgment begin at the house of God, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? And if I understand the scripture here in Zechariah correctly, it talks about a third of the people of Israel at the time of the tribulation being purged and purified and found pleasing to God. I don't really fully comprehend all that there is in the Bible concerning this and God's dealing with Israel, but that's what it seems to indicate here. Not all is going to be purged. Not all is going to accept the refining. Many are going to be rebellious and stubborn and choose to go their own way. We see that in our world today, it's the same way. And it comes right on down into the church. There are those that become stubborn and rebellious, and they refuse the refining process. And when these things begin to come up in their hearts and lives, instead of going to God and getting a hold of God, getting these things covered with the blood and being victorious, they give in to the things of the flesh and the things of the world, and they lose out with God. Fail to make it through the refining process. Yeah. But Jesus is the refiner. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory. He is going to refine and bring those that he refines into his divine and holy presence. Who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? But those who have been refined, those who have been sanctified, washed in the blood, cleansed and made holy, right in the sight of God. Folks, that's what we're doing. We're getting ready for that great day. We're being washed and purified in the blood of Jesus and by the word of God. And we're going to make it if we keep marching onward and upward. One of these days is going to be a victory celebration in heaven. And we're going to be there, praise God. I've said a lot of times, I think when we get up there and begin to sing the song of victory and the song of the redeemed, I believe the angels in heaven are going to stand back for a few moments of time and fold their wings and listen while the saints of God begin to sing, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We've gone through the fire, we've gone through the trials, and we've been victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll shout and sing around the throne of God forever and ever because we stood the test down here in this life, in this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, this is a preparation place. we're getting ready for eternity. I've thought many times how sad it would be for individuals to go to church all their life, pray around the altar, sing songs, worship, and think they was all right, but yet not be purified in the refining process, and be like Israel. God was speaking of them. You've not become what I wanted you to be. How sad it's going to be. But if I understand the scriptures correctly, it's going to be that way. He talks about the good wheat and the tares. He talks about separating the tares from the wheat and burning the tares and gathering the wheat into his father's presence. All in all, there's other illustrations like that. How sad it would be to go through this life and not let that refining process do the work in our hearts and lives. Friend, don't let that happen to us. Let's yield ourselves to him and let him purify our minds, our inner man, the outer man, everything about us, so that we can become what he wants us to be. You know, some people try to put on an outward show of righteousness and holiness. But if I understand correctly, when I begin to read in the Word of God, that righteousness and holiness has got to begin on the inside. In fact, if I understand the Bible, our righteousness, our holiness is absolutely nothing in the sight of God. We must have Christ. Righteousness and holiness. Yes. We must be robed with his righteousness in order to stand the fire and the test that we're going to go through. Our righteousness, all of our good doing, doesn't accomplish anything unless we let him do the work in us. And then out from that comes obedience and faith and following him. And then we're pleasing him to him. I still believe it's in order to get around the altars or kneel in our closet of prayer. Reach up to heaven and say, God, sanctify me wholly.
Yeah.
Lord, let my life be sanctified completely. I still believe in sanctification today.
Yeah.
Praise God. I believe it was begun when we were first saved. But I believe it's something that needs to be done every day in our lives. And the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Talking about dying to the flesh and dying to the things of the world. He said, I die daily in order to crucify the flesh. And put fleshly desires and fleshly lust away and live and walk in the Spirit. That's what we must be doing today. If we're going to go up when the rapture takes place, we must be walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. We must be victorious through him. Praise God. Having made it through the refining process. Glory to God. You see, the wonderful thing about it is the refining process makes something useful. Something beautiful, something wonderful. Look at the beautiful things that's been created out of gold and silver after that it went through the refining process. But it could have never made a beautiful, useful object before it was refined. It could have never been beautiful and useful if it had not gone through the refining process. So it is in your life and mine. We could never become something beautiful for God's use and his glory without going through the refining process. But you know, I like that song that says, he made something beautiful of my life. I've watched him do that. I've watched God reach down to people that was down and out and in the gutters of sin. Lives wasted. Their lives scarred and marred. And nobody cared anything about them. No one wanted to be around them. Their families had left them and forsaken them. They'd become so vile and wicked and unloving and uncaring that nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. But God has reached out and touched them and lifted them, like the psalmist said, out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, lifted them way up out of that and put them upon the solid rock on the Lord Jesus Christ and made something beautiful out of the lives. Actually, if you look back at all of our lives, he's done that very thing for us. Look what horrible lives that we'd be living today if it wasn't that he took us and made something beautiful of our lives. It takes a refining process for him to make something beautiful of your life and mine today. But thank God he's done it, and we'll be able to stand before him and praise him for it throughout all eternity. Look at where we might have been had not the Lord reached out and lifted us up. Praise God. But folks, we're here in the house of God.
Yeah.
And He's working on us. He's refining us. Mm-hmm. He's doing things in our lives that's making something beautiful and useful, mm-hmm. and for His glory and His honor. We're no longer a tool of Satan. We're no longer doing things that exalts and lifts Satan and magnifies him. But we're doing the things that lift and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He's making something beautiful and wonderful in our lives. Let us not become rebellious to the refining process. But let us yield and submit ourselves and say, Lord, have your way in my heart and in my life. I don't remember who wrote that song. It said, Lord, don't move this mountain. Just give me strength to climb. You see, there's mountains that come along. And, you know, it's kind of like what's going on in our world today. You know, there's a lot of jobs that people sit down or stand still or, you know, they're not as active and exercise as much as they used to. So, we've gone on the binge of doing a lot of exercise. There's a lot of places that's prepared with all kind of things to go and exercise on. You see people out here on our streets and highways jogging, and some of them walking, and all kind of things to exercise for bodily profit. But you know, we need to be concerned about the spiritual man as well. Paul even said bodily exercise doesn't really accomplish a whole lot. Oh, individual yielding and the Holy Spirit moving and working and changing and motivating our lives is very beneficial and very needful. Now, Paul wasn't telling us that we shouldn't exercise and take care of our bodies, but he was trying to tell us a more important thing. And the most important thing is that we exercise the spiritual body and that we grow and mature. And that we make it through the refining process. In order that one day when we stand before Him, He can say, well done. Welcome home. Praise God. We made something beautiful. Give honor and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We read the story of the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus told. To the eyes of the world, the rich man looked like the person that had something beautiful made of his life. Lazarus was the one that it looked like was ugly and scarred and of no account. But you see, God looks